Paul, talking to Timothy, talks about this training, right? Training like an athlete. Train yourself for the purpose of godliness, for the purpose of being more like Jesus. Train yourself to move towards godliness. And last week, our summary was that discipleship happens in twos. I encouraged you to find your two. I hope that you have a two, and if not, keep making that list. Find your two. Discipline is the path to godliness. Discipline is the training that comes from sustained daily effort. Habits are God-given gifts that can become part of you. We don't have a choice. We must be disciples of God. And we don't have a choice. We are commanded to disciple others. But, hallelujah, we are not alone. The Holy Spirit, Jesus says, he will make us fishers of men. He will show us how to fish for men. We don't have to know how right off the bat. We're going to learn together, and he will teach us through the Spirit. I shared my triangle with you. My triangle is a little unique. God is not at the top of the triangle, but this is the triangle of life. If we try to do life alone and move up the triangle without God, then the pressures of life, the troubles of life push down on us and are overwhelming. But if we move towards God, if we train ourselves to be more godly through reading the Scriptures and praying, then together, us with God, can face life together. And when life starts to push us down, God is there to push us up. My new question at the bottom there is for us today. Will we be mediocre Christians, or will we be growing and maturing Christians? Do you know this word, mediocre? I think in Chinese it translates mama hoo-hoo. Are you going to be a mama hoo-hoo Christian? When I looked up the dictionary definition, mediocre means average or not so good. Are we going to be a not so good Christian, an average Christian? Or are we going to move across the triangle towards God and together be more like God and live life together? All right. If you weren't here last week, you're all caught up. This week, I want to talk about quiet time. Quiet time is a private meeting each day between a disciple and the Lord Jesus Christ. A private meeting, an important meeting. Why should we have quiet time? Why should we spend time daily reading the Scriptures and praying? Why should we set this time apart? Well, it pleases the Lord. If for no other reason, this pleases God. In the Old Testament tabernacle and the Old Testament temple, there was a sacrifice that was done daily. It was the only one that was done daily, and it wasn't for forgiveness of sin. It was just a pleasing aroma of incense to the Lord, just to please God. Information. We need to know. We need to know what he taught before we can understand. We need to know what life is all about. We should have quiet time for encouragement. There is no better source of inspiration than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the power source. He is our encourager. And it should give us pleasure too. Being alone with the one we love is enjoyable. When my wife Juliet and I were dating, I didn't want to be anywhere else but with her. And even now that we're married, I always ask her to go with me. I don't expect her to go everywhere with me, but man, when she goes with me, I'm just, my love tank is full, just from her being there. We should enjoy being around the people we love. We should long for it and beg for it. And why should we have quiet time? Jesus is our example. He had quiet time. Now, Jesus was a morning person. In Mark chapter 1, it says, early in the morning, before the sun came up, he went off and had his quiet time, had his prayer. I am not a morning person. I have tried to do my quiet time in the morning, and it does not work for me. And I'm sure I could train myself where it would become comfortable if I did it every day for the 3 weeks, right, to form a new habit. But I have other times that work better for me. So if you're not a morning person, it's okay. Follow Jesus' example and have quiet time. And Hebrews 13 talks about the Father seeks these kinds of worshipers. He seeks these people who seek him, who want to worship him and please him. In Psalms 42, as the deer pants for streams of water, my soul pants for you. My soul longs for you. We should long for this time to be with the God that loves us, the God that we love. My soul thirsts for you, God, for the living God. So how do we begin? This is going to be a very practical. Pastor Perry always calls me the practical speaker, so I'm giving you practical advice today. I hope that it doesn't come across. I hope I can give it with humility, because my goal is that if you're not doing this already, that this would encourage you to try to start. If you are doing this, maybe this will give you some new ideas to rejuvenate you and your quiet time and your training towards godliness. But when we begin, we need to remember self-discipline. Remember the time to form habits. We talked about that last week. It takes 3 weeks of consistent, daily, sustained daily effort to make something comfortable, right? And then another 3 weeks to make it a habit, to make it part of you, like riding a bike or driving a car, right? Now we can do it without even thinking about it. Schedule the time. Just start with 10 minutes. 10 minutes is all Ghana needed in extra stoppage time to score a goal and win a World Cup game. Imagine what the Holy Spirit can do with you in 10 minutes. 10 minutes. Grow from there. Maybe your quiet time is already longer. That's great. But if you haven't started, just start in small steps. You don't have to start with big jumps. Plan ahead. Guard this time. If you're going to do morning time, get to bed early the night before, right? Guard that time. Don't schedule anything else. When I know I'm having quiet time, I tell my wife, don't schedule anything on Tuesday afternoon. All right, I'm planning my quiet time. I just need uninterrupted time with the Lord. Plan ahead. Guard the time. Prepare for it. True quiet time is uninterrupted. No distractions. Right? Put your phones away. Put it on airplane mode. Put it in the other room. Whatever distracts you, get away from it. Go to a quiet place. Pray. So important. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you understanding for what you're reading in the Scriptures. Ask the Holy Spirit to get rid of the distractions so that we can have this time with the Lord and that we can protect it. And have a notebook. We're going to talk about this a little more today. I think a notebook is so important, or a journal. I just started doing this, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. The rest of my lifetime and quiet time with God, I didn't use a journal or a notebook. But since I've started, what a difference it has made in my growth, in my maturity as a Christian, in my relationship with God. Write down ideas. Like I said, if the pastor repeated a sermon, would we notice? I tend to forget. By Wednesday, I probably forgot 90% of what Pastor Perry said last week. But I have my notes. And the notes I took weren't very many, maybe 3 to 5 sentences. But those were the notes that the Holy Spirit pointed out to me. Those were the things that, of all the things he said in the message, those were the things the Holy Spirit had for me. And I put it down on paper, and I get to see it again during my quiet time. So I encourage you, keep a notebook and share. We're told to share. We're told to disciple others, right? So share with your two. Share with your accountability partner. Share with others in your life. I share with my children. I share with my wife. I tend to share 3 or 4 times in a week what I learned in a Sunday sermon or what notes I wrote down in my Bible reading time and my quiet time. Share with others. Sharing was probably the scariest thing for me, because I hear it all the time, and I was the same. I had the same thoughts. What if I say the wrong thing? What if I lead them astray? What if I say something that's not in the Bible? What if they judge me for what I said to them? But the notebook helps me with this. If I'm writing things down from the Bible in my reading, and I'm writing things down from the pastor in his sermon on Sunday, and then I share those things, they're not from me. Right? They're from the Holy Spirit. They're from his word. So I don't have to fear. And sometimes I just thought, what do I say? I don't know what to say to this person. Well, I have some notes right here. I have it written down. I don't have to worry about what to say when I have those opportunities to share with others. parents. These are great opportunities. Sometimes parents tell me, I don't know what to talk about with my children. What do I tell them? Tell them what you learned in your quiet time. Tell them what you heard in a Sunday sermon. Share with them what the Holy Spirit is sharing with you. This is a great opportunity to share with your kids. And kids have lots of questions. I hear this from parents all the time. They ask me so many questions. What if I don't know the answer? It's okay. Search it out together, right? Search the Bible, find the answers. Search Google, right? But do it together and make sure you put keywords in Google because you want the right answers, right? You need to say biblical view of this question, right? How did Cain find his wife? What is the biblical view of where Cain found his wife? Did Noah's flood cover the whole earth? What is the biblical view of Noah's flood? Kids have questions, and that's great. They're seeking. Don't let them find answers from the world. Do it together with them. Find the answers from God's word. Be present. That's one of the things I thank my father on Father's Day for. Just thank you for being present in my life, for being there, for being part of my life. My son, Christopher, he's my middle child. When he was about 12 years old, heartbreaking, he shared with his mom, I'm going to cry, that he didn't have a good relationship with me. And that broke my heart. And I was like, man, how do I build this relationship? And my wife, in all her wisdom, she said, just spend time with him. So I started having dates with my 12-year-old son. He didn't want to do it at first. I forced him. I said, you can choose the place, but we're going to have time together. We're going to try to fix this relationship. So you choose where, but we have to do it. So once a week, we started meeting together, and it was almost always McDonald's, which is why I look like this, because a 12-year-old will choose McDonald's every time. But that's all right. We went to McDonald's, and it started out short times, maybe 20, 30 minutes, just eating together. And I was the same way. What do I ask? What do I bring up? What do I talk about? Well, fortunately, my son's a talker. Like 90% of the time, he just talk. And all I had to do was listen. I just had to be present, right? I was careful not to just hear noise from him talking, waiting my turn to say what I wanted to say, right? But to actually listen to him and hear about his life and his friends. And it was so interesting. I got to know my son all over again in these dates. And I always had something to talk about. I always wanted to give him some wisdom, some life lesson or something from the Word of God. So I had something prepared. But in the 45 minutes to an hour, maybe I talked for 5 minutes. He talked for 45 minutes. And we played games. We played cards or whatever he wanted. He was a gamer. He loved games. Games were not my favorite thing either. So McDonald's and games, I did it for him, right? I did it for the time. And now our relationship healed. It just took time. Remember, Jesus only did 2 miracles that first year. What did he do with all that time with his disciples? They just hung out together. They just spent time together. They even went to a wedding together, right? Just time together. So time with my son. Time with your one. Time with God, right? If you want to build that relationship, we need this time, this quiet time. The culture offers 1,000 identities. Scripture offers one. We are a child of God, fearfully and wonderfully made, male or female by design, knit together in our mother's womb. Dr. Kathy, in her book, talks about 5 core needs. The core needs of children, but core needs for everybody. Security. We ask ourselves, who am I? Who can I trust? Who can I trust? Who's not going to let me down? God's the only one. I can trust God. He has answered my prayers time and time again. Identity, who am I? Am I defined by the things? Am I the bad kid in the class? Am I the one that's always late? Am I defined by my sins? No, I am a child of God. I'm defined by my Creator. Belonging, who wants me? God wants me. Ephesians says that he chose me even while I was still a sinner. He loved us so much, he sent his son. For God so loved the world. Who wants me? God does. Purpose. Why am I alive? What is my purpose? To glorify God, to be his disciple, and to disciple others. Competence. What do I do well? When I look back, when I think about standing here talking to adults on a Sunday sermon, if you'd asked me 20 years ago if I'd ever do this, I'd say, no way. Never, never, never. I only talk to children under 18. I'm a teacher. I'm very comfortable with that age. I'll stick with that age. But God has a sense of humor, right? Don't tell God never, because here I am. Proof that never say never, right? But competence, what do I do well? The Holy Spirit equips us, prepares us. When you think back over your life, you can see how God prepared you for the next stage of your life. You can see how God, the Holy Spirit, is with you all through those stages of life. Last week I showed you this formula. Discipline is the key to spiritual maturity. If we want growth and we want maturity and move towards godliness, as Paul said, we need the Bible, we need the discipline, the training, and we need the Holy Spirit. Most of us are missing that middle one, that discipline, right? That's the one we struggle with. But if we have those three things, then we can grow. And there will be problems, right? I've faced these problems. I'm speaking for myself here. But one of the most common problems I see in Christians and in myself is endurance, right? We quit. We give up too soon. When I was 10, my aunt tried to teach me the piano. I barely remember maybe 4 or 5 lessons. I cannot play the piano. I can't play any musical instrument. I can't read music. I wish I could, but I didn't discipline myself. And now I can't play the piano. I tried ice skating once. Have you ever tried ice skating? Fell on my butt. Now my excuse is I'm afraid of heights because I'm so tall, and you get on the ice skates, it's a long fall down to the ice. So I just say, I have a fear of heights. I can't go ice skating. But I gave up, right? It takes endurance to learn those skills. And the same is true for our spiritual growth. It takes endurance. It takes that sustained daily effort to make those habits, to make that part of our soul, part of our being. I wrote these notes down last week. It says, the work of the Spirit is not mystical. The Holy Spirit has plainly told us how he works. The Holy Spirit works through the Scriptures. So that's why last week we said step one, time with God, read the Scriptures. That's why Paul told Timothy, focus on the Scriptures. Until I get there, focus on the Scriptures. That's where we start. That's where we can resist the temptations and the distractions. Sometimes I say this to myself, I don't feel like having quiet time today. Oh, today was busy, I'm tired, I'm not feeling well, I just want to take a nap, right? My mind wanders, it's hard to focus. This is an important time. We need to pray through these times. We need to say, Holy Spirit, help me. Give me that strength that only you can give. Take away the distractions. My son used to tell me, I don't want to do my homework. I said, you don't have to want to, but you have to do it, right? You don't have to want to, but you still have to do it. God is saying, you are my disciple. You need to follow me. We don't have to want to, but we need to do it until it becomes part of us. Sometimes I say to myself, oh, it's so boring. I'd rather be doing something else, right? Don't forget the enemy is at work here too. If you want to spend time with God and build your relationship with God, the enemy doesn't want you to do that with his enemy. So he's going to put things in your path. He's going to try to resist that and to tempt you to move away from that commitment. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. Don't deny the devil the pleasure of giving in to temptation. Put on the armor of God and fight that temptation. There are no shortcuts. You say that? There are no shortcuts. No shortcuts. I tried a shortcut once. All right, this is a funny story. I tried a shortcut. I got this idea from my sister. My sister likes to name things. She names her cars. So she had a Dodge. Dodge starts with D, so she named the car Dean. Right? Now she's an English teacher. She teaches literature. She loves Shakespeare. I know, weird people love Shakespeare, but my sister's weird. There's a weird one in all our families, right? If you don't have a weird person in your family, then you are probably the weird person in your family. So my sister names things. She names her laptop, and she usually names them after characters in Shakespeare. I think her current car is a Toyota RAV4. RAV starts with an R. Rosaline was the girlfriend of Romeo before Juliet. There you go, fun fact. So I decided I was going to name my bed, the bed that I sleep in. I'm going to name my bed. I'm going to call it the Word. So whenever I'm late to church or whenever people can't get a hold of me in an entire afternoon, I can honestly, without lying, say I was in the Word. I was at peace and comforted by the Word for hours. I did not want to leave the Word. But that's not how you get closer relationship with God. It doesn't work. There's no shortcuts. Maybe it prevents you from lying, but. So when we fail, when we have these problems, remember the key word last week, fail forward. Fail forward. Don't quit. Don't give up. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. Deny themselves when? Daily. Take up your cross daily. Follow him daily. This is that sustained daily effort that we keep hearing about. It's an ongoing battle. There's no shortcut around this. Whenever God says to put off something, he tells us to put on something. To discipline oneself for godliness means to say no to the self, say no to the flesh, say no to sin, and say yes to Christ. Say yes to things that are true and noble. Say yes to things that are pure and right. Right? Replace the old habits, the old ways, with the new ways. Last week I shared that my wife likes to go to the gym, and I go to the gym because I don't like the gym. I like my wife, so I go for her. And I told you the point system. Remember the point system? So this week I went to the gym twice. I got some serious points. In my head, it's like hundreds of points. In her head, I think I got 2 points, but that's okay. I got points. But the hour leading up to going to the gym, I think I lost a lot of points. I was complaining. I was in a bad mood. I was irritable. I had a bad tone of voice, right? My tone was off. And I'm working on this. I'm trying, you know, and I notice it. She points it out to me sometimes. She doesn't have to point it out to me anymore. I see it. I hear my voice. I know it's wrong. And when God says, put that off, I got to replace it with something. I need to replace it with words of affirmation. I actually wrote in my notebook, in my journal, what are some words I could have said instead of what I did say, right? I wrote it down, and I prayed about it. And that was my quiet time one day, thinking about what I needed to put off and what I needed to put on. Maybe we need to put off fried foods. Well, we better replace it with some healthy foods. Maybe we need to stop smoking. Well, we need to replace it with something, exercise, Bible reading. Some of us, my mom used to say garbage in, garbage out. Have you ever heard that phrase? Garbage in, garbage out. If you take garbage in, if you hear things that are wrong, then you're probably going to repeat things that are wrong, right? If you're watching bad movies, you're probably going to have bad thoughts and bad ideas and maybe do bad things. If you're listening to bad music with bad language, that language might come out of your mouth. When I was 12 years old, I thought it would be cool to start using bad words. I just decided one day I'm just going to use bad words all the time. I started saying bad words to all my friends. I was saying bad words at church when I was playing out in the yard. People looked at me like I was crazy, but I thought I was cool. Bad words. Curse words. And then one day I was at home and accidentally... bad word came out. My mom heard. That was not a fun experience. Has your mom, you ever heard the term wash your mouth out with soap? Yeah. Wash that dirty filth out of your mouth. Take soap, put it in the mouth, wash it out clean. I don't know that that works, but it worked for me. It worked for me. I decided that no more garbage in, no more garbage out. I was not going to keep that habit or form that habit. Part of disciplining is sharing with others. So I want to share with you what I do. And again, I hope that this encourages you and gives you ideas for your own quiet time and your own personal growth. And I will confess that this is a perfect week, and I don't have many perfect weeks. Many times, these things get delayed and pushed off to the next day or the next week even. But what I try to do, what I want to do, is Sunday, come to Sunday sermon, listen to the sermon, take some notes, just a few notes, 3 to 5 sentences, and pray over those notes. Pray over what God is showing me and telling me. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I read my Bible. I try on a good week. And I like to listen to the app. So I'll listen to the audio being read to me. I try to listen to an entire chapter. I listen to the same chapter the whole week, right? I'm not in a hurry to get through the Bible. I want to go deeper. I want to have understanding. On the Through the Word app, there's a commentator kind of gives his view on what the chapter is about, what's going on in history. So I take some notes. I take notes on what the commentator says. I take notes on what I'm reading. Words that stick out or phrases that stick out, take notes, and I pray about those. I pray for the Holy Spirit to give me understanding. I pray for the distractions to be gone. So I read and I pray. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I've been reading the book of John chapter by chapter. This is what my small group is doing. So my small group is studying John. So 2 days a week, I read John, and even in my Through the Word, I'm listening to the same chapter of John. So recently, I didn't always do this, but recently I just focus on one chapter the whole week and listen to it over and over and over. And I'm amazed that my notes keep changing. Like, I don't have the same notes each day. The Holy Spirit shows me something different each day in the same passage. But then Saturday's a little different. Excuse me. Saturday, I try an extended quiet time. So not just the 10 minutes of Bible reading and prayer and a few notes, but I try to block away hours, like 2 hours, maybe even 3 hours of my time. Now, I don't always take the whole 2 hours. Maybe it only takes 30 minutes or 45 minutes. But I want to block it out because I don't want to be looking at my watch like, oh, I got to go in a half an hour, right? I don't want interrupted quiet time. And this is the time I use my journal. So my notes are in my notebook. I have a separate book from my journal. And the journal is, if you're not doing a journal, I encourage you, try it. It's amazing. I didn't start journaling until just 3 years ago. And the first year, I was hearing a pastor back in my hometown. He's talking about his journal, and he's sharing from his journal. And I thought, oh, that's such a girly thing to do, writing a journal, right? I'm like, I'm a man, I'll write in a journal. But I tried it. I tried taking notes at first, and the notes led into journal writing. So now, I confess, I journal write. And it's okay to be a man and journal. Just don't get a pink notebook. It's okay. So journaling is a little different. I'm going to share with you what our journal looks like, my wife's journal. Oh, before I do that, weekly I try to make notes. I take those notes and I share those with others, right? The people in my life, my two, my small group. And monthly I have some former students who are now adults, and I keep in touch with them. And once a month I just take kind of the highlights of that month in my journal writing and my note-taking and send it to them. And it's amazing the conversations that will start between those people, that those students that I mentor, or I try to mentor. But journal writing. Now, everyone does journaling different. Some people will write prayers. They'll have a prayer journal. They'll write their prayers. They'll write their praises. They'll write the answers to prayers in the journal. Some people write notes and highlights and the things the Holy Spirit is sharing with them. Maybe you summarize what you heard, like writing it into your own words. I like to use questions. I write questions to God, and I listen for his answers. It's important. The reason I give myself 2 or 3 hours is because you need that quiet time. You need to be still, right? Be still and listen. Be still and know I am God. So if I have a question, and then I just stop and close my eyes, and I wait for answers, and I write it down. And I write down every answer that comes to my head. Sometimes it's from God, sometimes it's not, but I figure that out later when I'm praying. This journal is not my journal. All right, if you're looking at this and like, oh, that's not a very manly journal. It's so neat. The handwriting is nice. There's colors. This is my wife's journal. She has the art brain, so she has the color coordination. I like the way she does this with the colors. She has purple for wisdom and new insight from the Holy Spirit. Answers to prayers are in green, right? Praises are in red. Prayer requests are in yellow. Questions to ask God are in blue. This is great to have it coded because when you need encouragement, when you need to know that God is there, sometimes I'm like, God, where are you? Like, I'm not hearing from you. And I look back in my journal and you can see all of the green answers to prayers, or you can see all of the purple insights from the Holy Spirit. And it's such an encouragement to know that God is there and he's been speaking to us. So that's kind of what her journal looks like. Now my journal. Very manly, very messy. We won't say messy, we'll just say manly, right? Probably bad grammar. I don't write in straight lines. I just jot down my thoughts every which direction whenever they come to me. And I have more of a math brain, so I'm using symbols and numbers. So I have question marks when I have a question for God. I have stars when I hear answers, and I circle the star when I'm sure that it came from God. So this journaling is a back and forth. It's a conversation. I'm writing what I'm saying. I'm writing my questions. I'm writing what God's saying. I'm writing his answers. So back and forth, back and forth. I know some people who do this digitally. They do it on their tablet so they can go back and search. They can easily search a key word or a phrase. And, hey, I remember a year ago God and I were having this conversation, and you can jump to it immediately. For me and my pages, it takes a little longer to get back to it. But one example, in this page, I was asking God I was kind of feeling like I wasn't doing enough in the church, like maybe my talents and my gifts weren't, as a teacher even, weren't being used. I was on the elders board at my church back home, and it was great. I love serving as an elder, but I spent a lot of time here, so I was asking God, should I continue being an elder? Is there something else I should be doing? And God clearly told me, you're waiting for the pastor to tell you what to do. Why are you waiting for the pastor? I'm like, okay, so what should I do, Lord? I read a question, right? My question leads to another question, leads to another question. And he answered me. He said, go to the pastor. Pastors are very busy. They're very stressed out sometimes. They have a lot on their mind, a lot on their plate. Ask the pastor what you can take off of his plate, how you can help take something away and serve. So I did that. I went to the pastor, and I said, what do you have on your plate that I can take off your plate? And I fully expected him to say, oh, I need you to start a small group in this part of town. I don't have time to do that. Or I need you to start a Sunday school class on this date or an adult class on this day of the week because I don't have time for it. You know what he asked me to do? He said, we have 3 storage sheds on the property in the back of the church, and they're messy and they're old and there's spider webs and dirt and they just need cleaned out. Things need thrown away and organized. And I was like, oh. Okay. But I'd already journaled. I'd already talked to God, and I told God, I'm going to ask him, and I'm just going to say yes to whatever he asked me. So I was already committed to saying yes. But I'll tell you what, cleaning out those storage sheds and looking back through all, I've been at that church all my life, 40 years that church has been around. I saw some things that brought back memories of my childhood in that church, and I was so blessed to have those memories and just to know God had been working in that church for so many years. And the pastor, he kept praising me and thanking me for cleaning out the shed. What a simple task. What a mundane thing to do. But it was a blessing to him, and it was a blessing to me. And I know that it made God smile. It gave him joy. It gave him pleasure to have that time, to have that obedience. So I got that from my journal. And there's many other examples of questions that were answered. And usually I know it's from God when it's the opposite of what I would do. So I write something down. I'm like, oh, that's definitely me. This is definitely God because I would never ask to clean out a shed, right? All right. A bit of a summary. Quiet time. Quiet time. Start with 10 minutes. That's all you need. The Holy Spirit can do a lot in 10 minutes. Read your Bible. pray about it, to pick a verse, pick a passage, maybe a whole chapter, build up. Don't try to do it all quickly. Don't try to have it all finished in a year. Pray about it. Your time should be uninterrupted with no distractions, daily, planned, and prepared. If we have an important meeting with somebody, we schedule it, right? If we have an important meeting in business or at the school with the principal, we schedule that meeting, and we stick to that schedule. We're not going to miss a schedule with the boss, a scheduled meeting with the boss. So schedule it, protect that time, plan it, and be there, be present. Take notes. Share your notes with your two. Share your notes with others. Real quick, I just want to share some of my notes. My notes are separate from my journal. Just 3 to 5 notes every week from the sermon. I went back in my notes, which I do in my phone. So, Pastor Perry, when you see me on my phone, I'm taking notes. I'm not searching the internet while you're talking. On May 3rd, I was in the U.S., and the pastor of that church was talking about Moses, and Moses was leading. He was a disciple following God's commands, and he was leading the others. And I wrote these words, presence over progress. Just be present with God. Just have time with him. It doesn't matter how fast you make progress. And I have going towards God, not selfish desires. Directing others towards God. Those are the notes I took in that sermon that Sunday. The next week, May 17th, Brother Wilson was here at XICF, and he was talking about Samuel. And Samuel was a disciple of Eli, and Eli was discipling Samuel. And he brought up this word training. Samuel was training under Eli. There's that word again, right? Paul used it, training. Training for godliness. I wrote not just knowledge, but a relationship with God. The next week, May 24th, I wrote, Pastor Perry was up here stomping, remember that? Read and pray, read and pray. And he also talked about having a friend, having an accountability partner. Those were in my notes. May 31st, Brother Rob was up here talking about the disciples of Jesus in the book of Acts. And I wrote, continually devoting themselves to what they heard. What did they hear? They were hearing Scripture. So continually, daily, devoting themselves to what? Scripture. Surrendering world desires and seeking living water. Jesus is the living water, right? I am the living water. Come to me and you will thirst no more. Seek godliness. June 7th, Brother Sergio is here. I have notes to say, seek him. Move towards him. Repent the old ways and come to him. Share the message of the gospel. For weeks, the Holy Spirit has been talking to me about discipleship. And when I look back at those notes, I can see him clearly. And I know why the Holy Spirit repeats himself over and over, but it's because I'm a guy, right? Guys, ladies, you know this. You have to tell men at least 3 times, because if you only tell us once, it's not important. And the Holy Spirit knows this. So he tells me over and over and over until I realize, oh, it's important. I need to do this. I need to do this. It's probably proof that God is a guy, too. Because how many times do we pray the same thing over and over and over, and then he finally answers? Anyway. All right. Where am I? When you have journal time with God, write in the first person. I and me and you. Write prayers, write conversations, give both sides of the talk, of the conversation. Write the answers to prayers. Mark God's words to you. Star it, color it. And if you haven't done journaling before, try to start with these questions. Here's some ideas for you to start with. God, are you speaking to me? Wait for an answer. What are you saying? Am I understanding you? What are you doing, God, and how can I be part of it? I always ask, God, what do you want me to do? But maybe the better question is, God, what are you doing, and how can I jump in and be part of it? Can you send me confirmation? I write this question all the time. Is this from you, or is this from me? Is this your thinking, your words, and your will, or is this from my brain and my will? Write those questions. Be still and listen for answers. Let's not be a mama hoo-hoo Christian. Let's grow and mature towards godliness. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for these 2 weeks. Thank you for the last 6 weeks that you've been sharing with me about discipleship. Thank you for opening my ears to hear. I pray, Lord, that we as followers of you, as followers of Christ, that we would find time, plan time to be with you, that we would build that relationship, that we would grow and mature together. Lord, I pray that you would show us the blessings of this time so that we would long for you, that we would long for more time with you, that we can't wait to get to the next quiet time. I pray that for each of us, Lord. I pray that for myself. Give us a desire. Give us the endurance. Give us the discipline to focus on you so that it becomes a part of us, so that you become a part of us. Lord, this week, give us opportunities to be in conversation with you alone. In Jesus' name, amen.